Macbeth by William Shakespeare. Part 1.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain?
When the hurly-burly's done, when the battle's lost and won,
that will be ere the set of sun. Where the place?
Upon the heath.
There to meet with Macbeth. There is foul.
And foul is fair.
Hover through the fog and filthy air.
He can report us, Seamoth, by his flight of the revolt the newest state.
This is the sergeant, who, like a good and hardy soldier, fought against my captivity.
Hail, brave friend.
Say to the king the knowledge of the broil as thou dost leave it.
Doubtful it stood, as two spent swimmers that do cling together and choke their arse. A merciless MacDonald, worthy to be a rebel, for to that the multiplying villainies of nature do swarm upon him, from the western isles of kerns and gallows glasses is supplied, and fortune on his damned quarrel smiling showed like a rebel's whore. But all's too weak. For brave Macbeth, well, he deserves that name, disdaining fortune, with his brandished steel, which smoked with bloody execution, like valor's minion, carved out his passage till he faced the slave, which ne'er shook hands nor bade farewell to him, till he unseamed him from the nave to the chops, and fixed his head upon our battlements.
Oh, valiant cousin, worthy gentleman.
Mark, King of Scotland, mark. No sooner justice had with valor armed compelled these skipping kerns to trust their heels, but the Norwegian lord, surveying vantage, with furbished arms and new supplies of men, began a fresh assault.
Dismayed not this our captains, Macbeth and Banquo?
Yes, as sparrows, eagles, or the hare, the lion. If I say sooth, I must report they were as cannons overcharged with double cracks. So they doubly redoubled strokes upon the foe, except they meant to bathe in reeking wounds or memorize another Golgotha, I cannot tell. But I am faint. My gashes cry for help.
So well thy words become thee as thy wounds. They smack of honor, foe. Go, get him, surgeon. Who comes here?
The worthy Thane of Ross.
What a haste looks through his eyes.
God save the king.
Whence camest thou, worthy Thane?
From Fife, great king, where the Norwegian banners flout the sky and fan our people cold. Norway himself, with terrible numbers, assisted by that most disloyal traitor, the Thane of Cawdor, began a dismal conflict. Till that Bellona's bridegroom, brave Macbeth, confronted him with self-comparisons, point against point, rebellious arm against arm, curbing his lavish spirit. And, to conclude, the victory fell on us!
Oh, oh, happiness!
But now, Sweno, the Norway's king, craves compensation.
No more that Thane of Cawdor shall deceive our bosom interest. Go, pronounce his present death. And with his former title, greet Macbeth.
I'll see it done.
What he hath lost, noble Macbeth hath won.
A drum, Macbeth hath come. The weird sisters, hand in hand, coasters of the sea and land, thus to go about, thrice to thine,
and thrice to mine,
and thrice again, to make up nine. Peace. Charms wound
up. So foul and fair a day I have not seen.
How far is Cold Forest? What are these? So
so withered and so wild in their attire that looked not like the inhabitants of the earth, and yet are aren't. Live you, or are you aught that men may question? You seem to understand me by each one's a choppy finger laying upon a skinny lips.
Speak, if you can. What are you?
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Blood.
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Cawdor.
All hail, Macbeth, that shalt be king hereafter.
Good sir, why do you start and seem to fear things that do sound so fair? In the name of truth, are ye fantastical, all that indeed which outwardly ye show? My noble partner you greet with present grace and great prediction of noble having and of royal hope that he seems rapt withal. To me you speak not. If you can look into the seeds of time and say which grain will grow and which will not, speak then to me.
Hail.
Hail. Hail.
Lesser than Macbeth.
And greater.
Not so happy, yet much happier.
Thou shalt beget kings, though thou be none. So all hail Macbeth and Banquo.
Banquo and Macbeth, all
hey,
hail.
You imperfect speakers, tell me more. By Simon's death, I know I am Thane of Glance. But how of Cawdor? The Thane of Cawdor lives, a prosperous gentleman. And to be king stands not within the prospect of belief, no more than to be Cawdor. Say from whence you owe this strange intelligence, or why upon this blasted heath you stop our way with such prophetic greeting. Speak, I charge you!
The earth hath bubbles as the water has, and these are of them. Whither are they vanished?
Into the air. And what seemed corporal melted as breath into the winds.
Would they had stayed? Were such things here as we do speak about? Or have we eaten on the insane root that takes the reason prisoner?
Your children shall be kings.
You shall be king.
And Thane of Cawdor too, went it not so?
To the self-same tune and word. Who's here?
There's Ross and Angus.
The king hath happily received, Macbeth, the news of thy success. And when he reads thy personal venture in the rebels' fight, his wonders and his praises do contend which should be thine or his. As thick as hail came post with post, and everyone did bear thy praises in his kingdom's great defense and poured them down before him.
We are sent to give thee from our royal master thanks.
And for an earnest of a greater honor, he bade me from him call thee Thane of Cawdor, in which addition hail most worthy Thane, for it is thine.
What can the devil speak true?
The Thane of Cawdor lives. Why do you dress me in borrowed robes?
Who was the Thane lives yet, but under heavy judgment bears that life which he deserves to lose. Whether he was combined with those of Norway, or did line the rebel with hidden help and vantage, or that with both he labored in his country's wreck, I know not. But treason's capital, confessed and proved, have overthrown him.
Thane of Cawdor, treason.
Glance and Thane of Cawdor, the greatest is behind. Banquo, do you not hope your children shall be kings? When those that gave the Thane of Cawdor to me promised no less to them.
That trust at home might yet enkindle you unto the crown beside the Thane of Cawdor. But 'tis strange. And oftentimes to win us to our harm, the instruments of darkness tell us truths. Win us with honest trifles to betray us in deepest consequence.
Cousin, a word, I pray.
Two truths are told as happy prologues to the swelling act of the imperial theme. This supernatural soliciting cannot be ill. Cannot be good. If ill, why hath it given me earnest of success, commencing in the truth? I am Thane of Cawdor. If good, why do I yield to that suggestion, whose horrid image doth unfix my hair and make my seated heart knock at my ribs against the use of nature? Present fears are less than horrible imagining. My thought, whose murder yet is but fantastical, shakes so my single state of man that function is smothered in surmise, and nothing is but what is not. If chance will have me king, why chance may crown me without my stir.
You honors come upon it like our strange garments, cleave not to their mold, but with the aid of use.
Come what come may, time and the hour runs through the roughest day.
Worthy Macbeth, we stay upon your letter.
Give me your favor. My dull brain was wrought with things forgotten. Kind gentlemen, your pains are registered where every day I turn the leaf to read them. Let us toward the king. Tranquil. Think upon what hath chanced. Hmm? And at more time, the interim having waited, let us speak our free hearts each to other.
Very glad.
Till then, enough.
Come, friends!
Is execution done on Cordor?
My liege, I have spoke with one that saw him die, who did report that very frankly he confessed his treasons, implored your highness pardon, and set forth a deep repentance. Nothing in his life became him like believing it.
He was a gentleman on whom I built an absolute trust.
Here comes Macbeth, and Banquo with him.
Oh, worthiest cousin! The sin of my ingratitude even now is heavy on me. Thou art so far before that swiftest wing of recompense is slow to overtake thee. Only I have left to say, more is thy due than more than all can pay.
The service and the loyalty I owe in doing it pays itself. Your highness' part is to receive our duties. And our duties are to your throne and state, children and servants, which do but what they should by doing everything safe toward your love and honor.
Welcome hither. I have begun to plant thee, and will labor to make thee full of growing. Noble Banquo, that hast no less deserved, nor must be known no less to have done so. Let me enfold thee and hold thee to my heart.
There, if I grow, the harvest is your own.
My plenteous joys, wanton in fullness, seek to hide themselves in drops of sorrow. Sons, kinsmen, thanes, and you whose places are the nearest, know, we will establish our estate upon our eldest, Malcolm, whom we name hereafter the Prince of Cumberland. Which honor must not unaccompanied invest him only, but signs of nobleness like stars shall shine on all deserves. From hence to Inverness, and bind us further to you.
I'll be myself the harbinger, and make joyful the hearing of my wife with your approach. So humbly take my leave.
My worthy Cordor, the Prince of Cumberland.
That is a step on which I must fall down, or else all leap, for in my way it lies. Stars, hide your fires. Let not light see my black and deep desires. The eye wink at the hand. Yet let that be which the eye fears when it is done to see.
True, worthy Banquo. He is full so valiant, and in his commendations I am fed. It is a banquet to me. Let's after him whose care has gone before to bid us welcome. It is a peerless kinsman.
Success, and I have learned by the perfect's report they have more in them than mortal knowledge. When I burned in desire to question them further, they made themselves air, into which they vanished. Whilst I stood wrapped in the wonder of it, came missives from the king, who all hailed me Thane of Cawdor, by which title before these weird sisters saluted me, and referred me to the coming on of time with Hail, King, that shalt be. This have I thought good to deliver thee, my dearest partner of greatness, that thou mightst not lose the dues of rejoicing by being ignorant of what greatness is promised thee. Lay it to thy heart and farewell. Glamis thou art, and Cawdor, and shalt be what thou art promised. Yet do I fear thy nature? It is too full of the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Thou wouldst be great, art not without ambition, but without the illness should attend it. What thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily. Wouldst not play false, and yet wouldst wrongly win. Oh, hie thee hither, that I may pour my spirits in thine ear, and chastise with the valor of my tongue all that impedes thee from the golden round, which fate and metaphysical aid doth seem to have thee crowned withal. Seaton, what is your tidings?
The king comes here tonight.
Thou mad to say it? Is not thy master with him? Who, wert so, would have informed for preparation?
So please you, it is true. Our thane is coming. One of my fellows had the speed of him, who, almost dead for breath, had scarcely more than would make up his message.
Give him tending. He brings great news.
My lady.
The raven himself is hoarse that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements. Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here, and fill me from the crown to the toe top full of direst cruelty. Make thick my blood. Stop up access and passage to remorse, that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come to my woman's breasts and take my milk for gall, you murdering ministers, wherever in your sightless substances you wait on nature's mischief. Come, thick night, and pall thee in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peep through the blanket of the dark to cry, hold, hold. Great Glamis, worthy Cawdor, greater than both by the all hail hereafter, thy letters have transported me beyond the ignorant present, and I feel now the future in the instant.
My dearest love. Duncan comes here tonight.
And when goes hence?
Tomorrow, as he purposes.
Oh, never shall sun that morrow see. Your face, my thane, is as a book where men may read strange matters. To beguile the time, look like the time. Bear welcome in your eye, your hand, your tongue. Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. He that's coming must be provided for. And you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall to all our nights and days to come give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
We will speak further.
Only look up clear. To alter favor ever is to fear. Leave all the rest to me.
This castle hath a pleasant seat. The air nimbly and sweetly recommends itself unto our gentle senses.
This guest of summer, the temple-haunting martlet, does approve by his loved mansionary that the heaven's breath smells wooingly here. Yes. Where there most greed and haunt, I have observed the air is delicate.
See our honored hostess.
My lord.
The love that follows us sometime is our trouble, which still we thank as love. Herein I teach you how you shall bid God illness for your pains and thank us for your trouble.
All our service in every point twice done and then done double were poor and single business to contend against those honors deep and broad wherewith your majesty loads our house. For those of old and the late dignities heaped up to them, we rest your hermits.
Where's the Thane of Cawdor? We coursed him at the heels, but he rides well, and his great love, sharp as his spur, hath holped him to his home before us. Give me your hand. Conduct me to mine host.
We love him highly, and shall continue our graces toward him. By your leave, hostess.
If it were done when 'tis done, then 'twere well it were done quickly. The Saturnation could trammel up the consequence and catch with his surcease success. That but this blow might be the be-all and the end-all, here, but here, upon this bank and shoal of time, we jump for life to come. But in these cases, we still have judgment here. That we but teach bloody instructions, which being taught, return to plague the inventor. This even-handed justice commends the ingredients of our poisoned chalice to our own lips. He's here in double trust. First, as I am his kinsman and his subject, strong both against the deed. Then, as his host, who should against his murderer shut the door, not bear the knife myself. Besides, this Duncan hath borne his faculties so meek, hath been so clear in his great office that his virtues will plead like angels, trumpet-tongued, against the deep damnation of his taking off. And pity, like a naked newborn babe, striding the blast, or heaven's cherubims, horsed upon the sightless couriers of the air, shall blow the horrid deed in every eye, that tears shall drown the wind. I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent, but only vaulting ambition, which o'erleaps itself and falls on the other side. And now, what news?
He's almost out. I haven't left the chamber.
Has he asked for me?
No, you not. He has.
We will proceed no further in this business. He hath honored me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, which would be worn now in their newest gloss, not cast aside so soon.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Hath it slept since, and wakes it now to look so green and pale, and what it did so freely? From this time, such I account thy love. Art thou afeard to be the same in thine own act of valor as thou art in desire? Wouldst thou have that which thou esteemest the ornament of life, and live a coward in thine own esteem? Letting I dare not wait upon my wood, like the poor cat of the adage.
Let me peace. I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is done.
What beast was then that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you were a man. And to be more than what you were, you would be so much more the man. Nor time nor place did then adhere. And yet you would make both. They have made themselves, and that their fitness now does unmake you. I have given suck, and know how tender 'tis to love the babe that milks me. I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from his boneless gums and dashed the brains out, had I so sworn as you have done to this.
We should fail.
We fail? But screw your courage to the sticking place and we'll not fail. When Duncan is asleep, whereto the rather shall his day's hard journey soundly invite him, his two chamberlains will lie with wine and wassail so convinced that when in swinish sleep their drenched natures lie, as in a death, what cannot you and I perform upon the unguarded Duncan? What not put upon his spongy officers? Who shall bear the guilt of our great quell?
Bring forth men, children, only. For thy undaunted metal should compose nothing but males. But will it not be received when we have marked with blood those sleepy two of his own chamber and used their very daggers that they have done?
Who dares receive it other, as we shall make our griefs and clamor roar upon his death?
I am settled, and bend up each corporal agent to this terrible feat. Away, and mock the time with fairest show. False face must hide, but the false heart doth know.
How goes the night, boy?
The moon is down. I have not heard the clock.
And she goes down at 12.
I take it is later, Father.
Oh, take my sword.
Sir.
There's husbandry in heaven. Their candles are all out. Take me that, too. A heavy summons lies like lead upon me. And yet I would not sleep. Merciful powers restrain in me the cursed thoughts that nature gives way to in repose. Give me my sword. Who's there?
A friend?
Well, sir, not yet at rest. The king's abed. He hath been in unusual pleasure and sent forth great largesse to your offices. Oh. This diamond he greets your wife withal. By the name of most kind hostess and shut up in measureless content.
Being unprepared, our will became the servant to defect which else should free have wrought.
All's well. I dreamt last night of the three weird sisters. To you, they've showed some truth.
I think not of them.
Yet, when we can entreat an hour to serve, we would spend it in some words upon that business, if you would grant the time.
At your kind pleasure.
If you shall cleave to my consent when 'tis, it shall make honor for you.
So I lose none in seeking to augment it, but still keep my bosom franchised and allegiance clear. I shall be counseled.
Good repose the while.
Thanks, sir. The like to you. Come, see him.
Father.
Seaton.
My lord.
Go bid thy mistress, when my drink is ready, she strike upon the bell. Get thee to bed.
My lord.
Is this a dagger which I see before me? The handle toward my hand? Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not, fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Or art thou but a dagger of the mind? A false creation proceeding from the heat-oppressed brain. I see thee yet, in form as palpable as this which now I draw. Thou marshalst me the way that I was going, and such an instrument I was to use. Mine eyes are made of fools of the other senses, or else worth all the rest. And on thy blade and dungeon, gouts of blood which was not so before. There's no such thing. It is the bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes. Now the one half world, nature seems dead. And wicked dreams views the curtained sleep. Witchcraft celebrates pale Hecate's offerings, and withered murder, alarmed by his sentinel the wolf, whose howls his watch, thus with his stealthy pace, with Tarquin's ravishing strides, towards his design, moves like a ghost. Thou sure and firm set earth, hear not my steps which way they walk, for fear thy very stones prate of my whereabout, and take the present horror from the time which now suits with it. Whilst I threat, he lives. Words to the heat of deeds, too cold breath gives. I go and it is done. The bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan. For it is a knell that summons thee to heaven or to hell.
Which had made them drunk had made me bold. What had quenched them had given me fire. Hark! Peace. It was the owl that shrieked, the fatal bellman which gives the sternest good night. He is about it. The doors are open, and the surfeited grooms do mock their charge with snores. I have drugged their possets, the death and nature do contend about them whether they live or die. Alack, I am afraid they have awaked and 'tis not done. The attempt and not the deed confounds us. Hark! I laid their daggers ready. He could not miss them. Had he not resembled my father as he slept, I had done. My husband...
I have done the deed. Didst thou not hear a noise?
I heard the owl scream, the crickets cry. Did you not speak?
Well,
now.
Is that descending?
Aye.
Hark! Who lies in the second chamber?
Donald Bain, Duncan's son.
This is a sorry sight.
A foolish thought to say, a sorry sight.
This one did laugh in sleep. And one cried murder, that they did wake each other. I stood and heard them. But they did say their prayers and addressed them again to sleep.
There are two sons lodged together.
One cried, God bless us, and amen the other. As they had seen me with these hangman's hands. Listening their fear, I could not say amen when they did say, God bless us.
Consider it not so deeply.
How could I not pronounce amen? I had most need of blessing. And amen... stuck in my throat.
These deeds must not be thought after these ways, so it will make us mad.
I thought I heard a voice cry, sleep no more, Macbeth, doth murder sleep, the innocent sleep, sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care, the death of each day's life, sore labor's bath, balm of hurt minds, great nature's second cause, chief nourisher in life's feast.
What do you mean?
Still it cried, sleep no more to all the house. Glams have murdered sleep, and therefore Cawdor shall sleep no more. Macbeth shall sleep no more.
Who was it who thus cried? Why, worthy thane, you do unbend your noble strength to think so brain-sickly of things. Go, get some water, and wash this filthy witness from your hand. Oh! Why did you bring these daggers from the place? They must lie there. Go, carry them, and smear the sleepy grooms with blood.
I go no more. I'm afraid to think what I have done. Look, and again, I dare not.
Infirm of purpose. Give me the daggers. The sleeping... and the dead are but as pictures. 'Tis the eye of childhood that fears a painted devil. If he do bleed, I'll gild the faces of the grooms withal, for it must seem their guilt. Mm.
What is there nothing? How is it with me when every noise appalls me? What hands are here? Hurry, pluck out mine eyes! Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood clean from my hand? No, this my hand will rather the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red.
My hands are of your color, but I shame to wear a heart so white. Oh. I hear a knocking at the south entry. Retire we to our chamber. A little water clears us of this deed. How easy is it then? Your constancy hath left you unattended. More knocking. Get on your nightgown, lest occasion call and show us to be watchers. Be not lost so poorly in your thoughts.
To know my deed, 'twere best not know myself. Wake, Duncan, with thy knocking.
I would thou couldst.
It is a knocking indeed. If a man were a porter of Elm Gate, he should have old turning the key. Oh, but this place is too cold for hell. Knock, knock, knock. Who's there in the name of Beelzebub? And none.
Was it so late, Sunday, you went to bed that you do lie so late?
Faith, sir, we were carousing till the second call.
Is thy master stirring? Our knocking is awake, and here he comes.
Good morrow, noble sir.
Good morrow, both.
Macduff. My lord.
Let's...
My lord.
Is the king stirring, worthy thane?
Not yet.
He did command me to call timely on him. I've almost slipped the hour.
I'll bring you to him.
I know this is a joyful trouble to you, but yet this one.
The labor we delight in, physics pays. This is the door.
I'll make so bold to call, but it is my learned servant.
Does the king hence today?
He does. He did appoint, sir.
The night has been unruly. Where we lay, our chimneys were blown down. And as they say, lamentings heard in the air. Strange screams of death, and prophesying with accents terrible of dire combustion and confused events, new hatched to the woeful time, the obscure bird clamored the livelong night. Some say the earth was feverous and did shake.
'Twas a rough night.
My young remembrance cannot parallel a fellow to it.
Horror. Horror. Come, no heart cannot conceive nor name thee.
What's the matter?
Confusion now hath made his masterpiece.
Most sacrilegious murder hath broke open the Lord's anointed temple and stole thence the life of the building.
What did you say? The life?
Why, you, his majesty? Approach the chamber and destroy your sight with a new gorgon. Do not bid me speak. See, and then speak yourself.
Awake! Awake! Ring the alarm bell! Murder and treason! Banquo and Dunlbane, Malcolm! Awake! Shake off this downy sleep, death. Come to me and look on death itself. Malcolm! Banquo! As from your graves rise up and walk like sprites, the countenance is horror.
What's the business? There's such a hideous sound that calls the party to see into the house. Speak! Speak!
Oh, gentle lady, it is not for you to hear what I can speak. The repetition in a woman's ear would murder as it fell.
Banquo! Banquo, our royal master's murdered.
What? In our house?
Too cruel anywhere. But doth I really contradict myself and say it is not so?
Had I but died an hour before this chance, I had lived a blessed time. For from this instant there's nothing serious in mortality. All is but toys. Renown and grace is dead. The wine of life is drawn, and a mere lees is left this vault to brag of.
What is amiss?
You are.
And do not note. The spring, the head, the fountain of your blood is stopped. The very source of it is stopped.
Malcolm. Dunlbane. Your royal father's murdered.
What? By whom?
Those of his chamber, as it seemed, had done. Their hands and faces were all badged with blood. So were their daggers, which, unwiped, we found upon their pillows. They stared and were distracted. No man's life was to be trusted with them.
Oh, yet I do repent me of my fury that I did kill them.
Wherefore did you so?
Who can be wise, amazed, temperate and furious, loyal and neutral in a moment? No man. The expedition of my violent love outrun the pauser, reason. Here lay Duncan, his silver skin laced with his golden blood, and his gashed stabs looked like a breach in nature for ruin's wasteful entrance. There the murderers, steeped in the colors of their trade, their daggers unmannerly breached with gore. Who could refrain that had a heart to love, and in that heart courage to make love known?
Help me.
What?
Anderson. Oh.
Look to the lady.
Dunlbane.
Malcolm.
Why do we hold our tongues that may most claim this argument for ours?
What should be spoken here, where our fate hid in an auger hole may rush and seize us? Let's away, brother. Our tears are not yet brewed,
nor our strong sorrow upon the foot of motion.
Look for the lady. My lady. And when we have our naked frailties hid that suffer in exposure, let us meet and question this most bloody piece of work to know it further. Fears and scruples shake us. In the great hand of God I stand. And thence, against the undivulged pretense, I fight of treasonous malice.
And so do I.
So all.
Let's briefly put on manly readiness and eat to the hall.
Together.
What will you do, brother? Let's not consort with them. To show an unfelt sorrow is an office which the false man does easy. Ah, to England. To Ireland, aye. Our separated fortune shall keep us both the safer. Where we are, there's daggers in men's smiles. The near in blood, the nearer bloody.
This murderous shaft that shot hath not yet lighted, and our safest way is to avoid the aim. Therefore, to horse, and let us not be dainty of leave-taking, but shift away. There's warrant in that theft which steals itself when there's no mercy left.
Farewell, dear brother.
Farewell.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Amen.
Amen.
80 I can remember well. Within the volume of which time I have seen hours dreadful and things strange, but this sore night hath trifled former knowing.
Ah, good father, thou seest the heavens as troubled with man's act, threatens his bloody stage. By the clock 'tis day, and yet dark night strangles the travelling lamp. Is night's predominance or the day's shame? The darkness does the face of earth entomb when living light should kiss it.
'Tis unnatural, even like the deed that's done.
Here comes the good Macduff.
Holy father.
My son. How goes the world, sir, now?
Why, see you not.
It's known who did this more than bloody deed.
Those that Macbeth hath slain.
Alas, that day. What good could they pretend?
It was a bond. Malcolm and Donalbane, the king's two sons, are stolen away and fled, which puts upon them suspicion of the deed.
Against nature still. Thriftless ambition that will ravin up thine own life's means. Then 'tis most like the sovereignty will fall upon Macbeth.
He's already named and gone to Scone to be invested.
Where is Duncan's body?
Carried to Combe Kill, the sacred storehouse of his predecessors and guardian of their bones.
Will you to Scone?
No, cousin. Out to Fife.
Well, I will thither.
Well, may you see things well done there.
Adieu.
Lest our old robes sit easier than our new.
Farewell, father.
God's benison go with you. And with those that would make good of bad, and friends of foes.
Thou hast it now. King, Cawdor, Glamis. All as the weird women promised. And I fear thou playedst most foully for't. Yet it was said it should not stand in thy posterity, but that myself should be the root and father of many kings. If there come truth from them, as upon thee, Macbeth, their speeches shine, why, by the verities on thee made good, may they not be my oracles as well, and set me up in hope. Hush, no more.
Here's our chief guest.
My lord.
If he had been forgotten, it had been as a gap in our great feast, and all thing unbecoming.
Tonight we hold a solemn supper, sir, and I'll request your presence.
Let your highness command upon me, to the which my duties are with a most indissoluble tie forever knit.
Ride you this afternoon?
Aye, my good lord.
We should have else desired your good advice, which still hath been both grave and prosperous in this day's council. But we'll take tomorrow. Is it far, you ride?
As far, my lord, as will fill up the time twixt this and supper. I'll go and knock my horse the better. I must become a borrower of the night for a dark hour or twain.
Fail not our feast.
My lord, I will not.
We hear Malcolm and Donalbane are bestowed in England and in Ireland, not confessing their cruel parasite, filling their hearers with strange invention.
Oh,
But of that tomorrow, when therewithal we shall have cause of state craving us jointly. Are you to horse? Adieu, till you return at night.
My lord.
Goes Fleance with you?
Aye, my good lord. Our time does call upon us.
I wish your horses swift and sure of foot, and so I do commend you to their backs. Farewell.
My lord.
Let every man be master of his time till 7 at night. To make society the sweeter welcome, we will keep ourselves till supper time alone.
My lord.
While then, God be with you. Seaton, a word with you. Attend those men our pleasure?
They are, my lord, without the palace gate.
Bring them before us.
My lord.
To be thus is nothing, but to be safely thus. Our fears in Banquo stick deep, and in his royalty of nature reigns that which would be feared. 'Tis much he dares, and to that dauntless temper of his mind he hath a wisdom that doth guide his valor to act in safety. There is none but he whose being I do fear. And under him my genius is rebuked, as it is said Mark Antony's was by Caesar. He chid the sisters when first they put the name of king upon me, and bade them speak to him. Then, prophet-like, they hailed him father to a line of kings. Upon my head they placed a fruitless crown, and put a barren scepter in my gripe, thence to be wrenched with an unlineal hand, no son of mine succeeding. If it be so, for Banquo's issue have I defiled my mind. For them, the gracious Duncan, have I murdered, put rancors in the vessel of my peace to make them kings, the seed of Banquo kings. Rather than so, come fate into the list and champion me to the utterance. Who's there? Seaton, now go to the door and stay there till we call.
My lord.
Was it not yesterday we spoke together?
It was so, please, your highness.
Well then. Now, have you considered of my speeches? Know that it was he, in the times past, which held you so under fortune, which you thought had been our innocent self. This I made good to you in our last conference, how crossed the instruments, who wrought with them, and all things else that might to half a soul and to a notion craze say, thus did Banquo.
You made it known to us.
I did so. And went further, which is now our point of second meeting. Do you find your patience so predominant in your nature that you can let this go? Are you so gospel to pray for this good man and for his issue, whose heavy hand hath bowed you to the grave and beggared yours forever?
We are men, my liege.
In the catalogue ye go for men. And if you have a station in the file not of the worst rank of manhood, say it. And I will put that business in your bosoms whose execution takes your enemy off, grapples you to the heart and love of us, who wear our health but sickly in his life, which in his death were perfect.
I am one, my liege, whom the vile blows and buffets of the world hath so incensed that I am reckless what I do to spite the world. And I another, so weary with disaster, tugged with fortune, that I would set my life on any chance to mend it or be riddled.
Both of you know Banquo was your enemy.
True, my lord.
So is he mine. And in such bloody distance that every minute of his being thrusts against my nearest of life. And though I could with bare-faced power sweep him from my sight and bid my will avouch it, yet I must not. For certain friends that are both his and mine, whose loves I may not drop, but wail his fall, who I myself struck down. And thence it is that I to your assistance do make love, masking the business from the common eye for sundry weighty reasons.
We shall, my lord, perform what you command us, though our life...
Your spirit shine through you. Within this hour at most, I will advise you where to plant yourselves, acquaint you with the perfect spy of the time, the moment on't, what must be done tonight, and something from the palace. And with him, Fleance, his son, that keeps him company, whose absence is no less material to me than is his father's, must embrace the fate of that dark hour. Resolve yourselves apart. I'll come to you anon.
We are resolved, my lord.
I'll call upon you straight. Abide within.
It is concluded. Banquo, thy soul's flight, if it find heaven, must find it out tonight.
Is Banquo gone from court?
Aye, madam, but returns again tonight.
Say to the king, I would attend his leisure for a few words.
Madam, I will.
Naught's had. All spent. Where our desire is got without content. 'Tis safer to be that which we destroy than by destruction dwell in doubtful joy. How now, my lord? Why do you keep alone of sorriest fancies your companions making, using those thoughts which should indeed have died with them they think on? Things without all remedy should be without regard. What's done is done.
We have scorched the snake, not killed it.
Oh.
She'll close and be herself, whilst our poor malice remains in danger of her former tooth. But let the very frame of things disjoint, both the worlds suffer, ere we will eat our meal in fear and sleep in the affliction of these terrible dreams that shake us nightly. Better be with the dead, whom we, to gain our peace, have sent to peace, than on the torture of the mind to lie in restless ecstasy. Duncan is in his grave. After life's fitful fever, he sleeps well. Treason has done his worst. Nor steel, nor poison, malice domestic, foreign levy, nothing can touch him further.
Come on. Gentle, my lord. Sleek o'er your rugged looks. Be bright and jovial among your guests tonight.
So shall I, love. And so I pray be you. Full of scorpions is my mind, dear wife. Thou knowest that Banquo and his fleance lives.
But in them, nature's copy is not eterned.
There's comfort yet. They are assailable. Then be thou jocund. Ere the bat hath flown his cloistered flight, ere two black Hecate's summons, the shard-born beetle with his drowsy hums hath run night's yawning peal, there shall be done a deed of dreadful note.
What's to be done?
Be innocent of the knowledge, dearest Chuck, till thou applaud the deed. Come, sealing night. Scarf up the tender eye of pitiful day, and with thy bloody and invisible hand, cancel and tear to pieces that great bond which keeps me pale. Light thickens, and a crow makes wings to the rooky wood. Good things of day begin to droop and drowse, whilst night's black agents to their preys do rouse. Thou marvelst at my words, but hold thee still. Things bad begun make strong themselves by ill. So prithee, go with me.
He join with us.
Macbeth.
He needs not our mistrust, since he delivers our offices and what we have to do to the direction just.
Then stand with us. The west yet glimmers with some streaks of day. Now spurs the lated traveller apace to gain the timely inn. And near approaches the subject of our watch.
Hark, I hear horses.
Give us a light there, ho!
It is he. The rest that are within the note of expectation already are at the court.
His horses go about.
Almost a mile. But he does usually, so all men do, from hence to the palace gate make it their walk.
A light! A light!
Is he?
Stand to it.
It will be rain tonight.
Let it come down!
Oh, treachery! Fly, good fiend! Fly, fly, fly! Thou miss revenge! Oh,
Holy!
light.
What's not the way?
There's but one down. The sun is fled.
We have lost best half of our affair.
Well, let's away and say how much is done.
But in best time, we will require her welcome.
Pronounce it for me, sir, to all our friends. For my heart speaks, they are welcome.
See, they encounter thee with their heart's thanks. Both sides are even. Here, I'll sit in the midst.
My lord.
Be large in mirth. Anon, we'll drink a measure the table round.
There's blood upon thy face.
It is Banquo's, then.
It is better thee without than he within. Is he dispatched?
My lord, his throat is cut. That I did for him.
Thou art the best of the cutthroats. Yet he's good that did the like for Fleance. If thou didst it, thou art the nonpareil.
Most royal, sir. Fleance escaped.
Then comes my fit again. I had else been perfect. Whole as the marble, founded as the rock, as broad and general as the casing air. But now I'm cabin, cribbed, confined, bound in to saucy doubts and fears. But Banquo's safe.
Aye, my good lord. Safe in a ditch he bides, with 20 trenchant gashes on his head. The least a death to nature.
Thanks for that. There the grown serpent lies. The worm that's fled hath nature that in time will venom breed, no teeth for the present. Get thee gone. Tomorrow we'll hear ourselves again.
My lord.
My royal lord, you do not give the cheer. The feast is sold that is not often vouched while 'tis a-making. 'Tis given with welcome.
Sweet remembrance. Now, good digestion, weight on appetite, and health on both.
May it please your highness sit.
Here had we now our country's honor roofed, were the graced person of our Banquo present. Who may I rather challenge for unkindness than pity for mischance?
His absence, sir, lays blame upon his promise. Please, your highness, to grace us with your...
Which of you have done this?
What, my lord?
Thou canst not say I did it. Never shake thy gory locks at me!
But rise, his highness is not well.
This worthy friends, my lord is often thus, and hath been from his youth. Pray you keep seat. The fit is momentary. Upon a thought, he will again be well. If much you note him, you should offend him and extend his passion. Feed and regard him not. Are you a man?
Aye, and a bold one that dare look on that which might uphold the devil.
Oh, proper stuff. This is the very painting of your fear. This is the air-drawn dagger which you said lay you to Duncan. Oh, these flaws and starts, impostors to true fear, shame itself. Why do you make such faces? When all's done, you look upon a stool.
Pretty, see there! Behold, look! Oh, how say you? Why, what care I? If thou canst nod, speak too. If charnel houses in our graves must send those that we bury back, our monuments shall be the maws of kites.
What? Quite unmanned in folly.
If I stand here, I saw it.
Fie for shame!
Blood had been shed ere now in the olden time, ere humane statue purged the gentle wheel. Aye, and since two murders have been performed, too terrible for the ear, the time has been that when the brains were out, the man would die and there an end. But now they rise again with 20 mortal murders on their crowns and push us from our stools. This is more strange than such a murder is.
My worthy lord, your noble friends do lack you.
I do forget. Do not muse in me, my most worthy friends. I have a strange infirmity which is nothing to those that know me. Come, love and health to all. Then I'll sit down. Give me some wine. Or fill full. I drink to the general joy of the whole table. And to our dear friend Banquo, whom we miss. Would he were here! To all and him we thirst, and all to all.
Our duties and the flesh.
Hush! Avaunt! And quit my sight!
Let the earth hide thee. Thy bones are marrowless, thy blood is cold. Thou hast no speculation in those eyes which thou dost glare with.
What of this, good Piers? But as a thing of custom, 'tis no other. Only it spoils the pleasure of the time.
What man dare? I dare. Approach thou like the rugged Russian bear, the armed rhinoceros, or the Hyrcan tiger. Take any shape but that, and my firm nerves shall never tremble, or be alive again, and dare me to the desert with thy sword. If trembling I inhabit then, protest me the baby of a girl. Hence, terrible shadow, unreal mockery! Hence!
I saw being gone. I am a man again.
Pray you, sit still.
You have displaced the mirth, broke the good meeting with most admired disorder.
Can such things be, and overcome us like a summer's cloud without our special wonder?
You make me strange, even to the disposition that I owe, where now I think you can behold such sights and keep the natural ruby of your cheeks, when mine is blanched with fear.
What sights, my lord?
I pray you speak not. He grows worse and worse. Question enrages him. At once, good night. Stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once.
Good night, and better help the friend, your majesty.
A kind good night to all.
It will have blood, they say. Blood will have blood. Stones have been known to move, and trees to speak. Augurs and understood relations have, by maggot pies and chuffs and rooks, brought forth the secretest man of blood. What is the night?
Almost at odds with morning. Which is which?
How sayst thou that Macduff denies his person at our great bidding?
Did you send to him, sir?
I heard it, by the way, but I will send. There's not a one of them, but in his house I keep a servant feed. I will tomorrow, and betimes I will, to the weird sisters. More shall they speak. For now I am bent to know by the worst means, the worst. For mine own good, all causes shall give way. I am in blood stepped in so far that should I wade no more, returning were as tedious as gore. Strange things I have in head that will to hand, which must be acted ere they may be scanned.
You lack the season of all natures. Sleep.
Come, we'll go to sleep. My strange and self-abuse is the initiate fear that wants hard use. We are yet but young indeed.
Caithness.
Aye.
My former speeches have but hit your thoughts, which can interpret farther. Only I say, things have been strangely born. The gracious Duncan was pitied of Macbeth. Marry, he was dead. And the right valiant Banquo walked too late, whom you may say, if it please you, Fleance killed, for Fleance fled. Men must not walk too late. Who cannot wonder thought how monstrous it was for Malcolm and for Donalbain to kill their gracious father? Damned fact, how it did grieve Macbeth. Did he not straight, in pious rage, the two delinquents tear that were the slaves of drink and thralls of sleep? Was not that nobly done? Aye, and wisely, too. But would have angered any heart alive to hear the men deny it. So that I say, he has borne all things well. And I do think that had he Duncan's sons under his key, as, and please heaven he shall not, they should find what 'twere to kill a father, so should Fleance. But peace. For from broad words, and because he failed his presence at the tyrant's feast, I hear Macduff lives in disgrace. Sir, can you tell where he bestows himself?
Malcolm, the son of Duncan, from whom Macbeth now holds the due of birth, lives in the English court, and thither Macduff is gone to pray holy King Edward upon his aid to wake Northumberland and warlike Seaward, that by the help of these, with him above to ratify the work, we may again give to our tables meat, sleep to our knights, free from our feasts and banquets bloody knives, do faithful homage and receive free honors, all which we pine for now. And this report hath so exasperated Macbeth that he prepares for some attempt of war.
Sent he to Macduff?
He did, and with an absolute sir, not I. The cloudy messenger turns me his back.
Some holy angel fly to the court of England, that a swift blessing may soon return to this our suffering country under a hand accursed.
I'll send my prayers with him.
Winged cat hath mewed.
Thrice, and once the hedge pig whined.
Harpier cries, 'tis time.
Round about the cauldron go, in the poisoned entrails throw. Toad that under cold stone, days and nights, has 31 sweltered venom sleeping got. Boil thou first in the charmed pot. Double toil and trouble.
Fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Fill it to the fenny snake, in the cauldron boil and bake.
Eye of newt and toe of frog, wool of bat and tongue of dog.
Adder's fork and blind worm sting, lizard's leg and howlet's wing.
For a charm of powerful trouble,
like a hell broth boil and bubble.
Double toil and trouble,
fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Cool it with a baboon's blood, then the charm is firm and good.
By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes.
How now, you secret black and midnight hags? What is to do?
A deed without a name.
I conjure you by that which you profess. Howe'er you come to know it, answer me. Though you untie the winds and let them fight against the churches, though the yesty waves confound and swallow navigation up, though palaces and pyramids do slope their heads to their foundations, though the treasure of nature's germins tumble all together, even till destruction sicken. Answer me to what I ask you.
Demand.
Will answer.
Thou'st rather hear it from our mouths or from our masters.
Call them. Let me see him.
Poor in sow's blood that hath eaten her nine farrow, grease that sweaten from the murderer's gibbet throw into the flame. Come high or low,
thyself
and office.
Tell me, thou unknown power.
He knows thy thought. Hear his speech, but say thou naught.
Macbeth, beware Macduff, beware the Thane of Fife. Dismiss me, enough.
Whate'er thou art, for thy good caution, thanks. Thou hast harped my fear aright, but one word more.
He will not be commanded. He has another, more potent than the first.
Macbeth! Bloody, bold, and resolute, laugh to scorn the power of man, for none of woman born shall harm Macbeth.
Then live, Macduff. What need I fear of thee? But yet I'll make assurance double sure, and take a bond of fate. Thou shalt not live. That I may tell pale-hearted fear it was, and sleep is like a thunder. What is this that rises like the issue of a king, and wears upon his baby brow the round and top of sovereignty?
Listen, but speak not to it.
Be
be lion-mettled and proud, and take no care who chaffs, frets, or where conspirers are. Macbeth shall never vanquish be, until great Birnam Wood to hide Dunedain Hill shall come against him.
Ha! That will never be. Who can impress the forest? Bid the tree unfix his earth-bound roots. We, bowmen, good. Rebellious dead, rise never till the wood of Birnam rise. And our high-placed Macbeth shall live the lease of nature, pay his breath to time and mortal custom. Yet my heart throbs to know one thing. Tell me, if your art can tell so much, shall Banquo's issue ever reign in this kingdom?
Seek to know no more.
I will be satisfied. Deny me this, and an eternal curse fall on you. Let me know.
Show his eyes and grieve his heart. Come like shadows, so depart.
To like the spirit of Banquo, down. I crown the seer by my horse. And thy hair, thou other gold-bound brow, is like the first. A third is like the former. Filthy hags, why do you show me this? A fourth, starred eyes. What will the line stretch out to the crack of doom? Another yet? A seventh?
I see no more.
And yet, the eighth appears. Who bears a glass which shows me many more? Now I see it is true. For the blood fountain Banquo smiles upon me and points at them for his. What is this so?
Aye, sir. All this is so.
Where are they? Gone? Oh, let this pernicious hour stand high accursed in the calendar.
Come in without there.
What's your grace's will?
So are you the weird sisters?
No, my lord.
Came they not by you?
No, indeed, my lord.
Infected be the air whereon they ride, and damned all those that trust them.
I did hear the galloping of horse. Who was came by?
It is two or three, my lord, that bring you word. Macduff has fled to England.
Fled to England?
Aye, my good lord.
Time thou anticipates my dread exploits. The flighty purpose never is o'ertook unless the deed go with it. From this moment, the very firstlings of my heart shall be the firstlings of my hand. And even now, to crown my thoughts with acts, be it thought and done. The castle of Macduff I will surprise, seize upon Fife, give to the edge of the sword his wife, his babes, and all unfortunate souls that trace him in his line. No boasting like a fool, this deed I'll do before this purpose cool. But no more sights.
Well, here are these gentlemen. Come, bring me where they are.
My pretty cousin.
Cousin? What had he done to make him fly the land?
You must have patience, madam.
He had none. His flight was madness. When our actions do not, our fears do make us traitors.
You know not whether it was his wisdom or his fear.
Wisdom? To leave his wife, to leave his babes, his mansion, and his titles in a place from whence himself does fly? He loves us not. He wants the natural touch. For the poor wren, the most diminutive of birds, will fight her young ones in a nest against the owl. All is the fear and nothing is the love. Or as little is the wisdom where the flight so runs against all reason.
My dearest cousin, I pray you school yourself. But for your husband, he's noble, wise, judicious, and best knows the fits of the season. I dare not speak much further, but cruel are the times when we are traitors and do not know ourselves. I take my leave of you. Shall not be long, but I'll be here again. Things at worst will cease, or else climb upward to what they were before. My pretty cousin, blessing upon you.
And upon you, my lord. father he is, and yet he's fatherless.
I am so much a fool, should I stay longer? It would be my disgrace and your discomfort. I take my leave at once.
Sirrah, your father's dead. And what will you do now? How will you live?
As birds do, Mother.
What, with worms and flies?
With what I get, I mean. And so do they.
Poor Prattler, how thou talks.
Bless you, fair dame. I am not to you known, though in your state of honor I am perfect. I doubt some danger does approach you nearly. If you will take a homely man's advice, be not found here, hence with your little ones. To fright you thus, methinks I am too savage, to do worse to you a fell cruelty which is too nigh your person. Heaven preserve you. I dare abide no longer.
Whither should I fly? I've done no harm. But I remember now. I'm in this earthly world where to do harm is often laudable. To do good, sometime accounted dangerous folly. Why then, alas, do I put up that womanly defense to say I've done no harm? What are these faces?
Where is your husband?
I hope in no place so unsanctified where such as thou mayst find him.
He's a traitor.
Thou liest, thou fast!
What you end? Gun cry of treachery!
Kill me, father! Run away! I pray you!
Let us seek out some desolate shade, Macduff, and there weep our sad bosoms empty.
Nay, Malcolm, let us rather hold fast the mortal sword, and like good men bestride our downfall and birth them. Each new morn, new widows howl, new orphans cry, new sorrows strike heaven on the face, that it resounds as if it felt with Scotland and yelled out like syllable of dollar.
Would I believe our wail? What know, believe. And what I can redress as I shall find the time to friend, I will. What you have spoke, it may be so, perchance. This tyrant whose sole name blisters our tongues was once thought honest. You have loved him well. He hath not touched you yet.
I have lost my hopes.
Perchance even there where I did find my doubts. Why in that ruinous left you wife and child, those precious motive, those strong knots of love without leave-taking? I pray you, let not my jealousies be your dishonors, but mine own safeties. You may be rightly just, whatever I shall think.
Bleed, bleed, poor country. Great tyranny, lay thou thy basis sure, for goodness dare not check thee. Where thou thy wrongs, thy title is afeard. Fare thee well, Lord. I would not be the villain that thou think'st for the whole space that's in the tyrant's grasp and the rich east of both.
Be not offended. I speak not as in absolute fear of you. I think our country sinks beneath the yoke. It weeps, it bleeds. And each new day a gash is added to her wounds. I think withal there would be hands uplifted in my right. And here from gracious England have I offer of goodly thousands. But for all this, when I shall tread upon the tyrant's head or wear it on my sword, that my poor country shall have more vices than it had before, more suffer and more sundry ways than ever by him that shall succeed.
What should he be?
'Tis myself I mean, in whom I know all the particulars of vice so grafted that when they shall be opened, Black Macbeth will seem as pure as snow, and the poor state esteem him as a lamb in compare with my confineless harms.
Not in the legions of horrid hell can come a devil more damned in evils to top Macbeth.
Oh, I grant him bloody. Luxurious, avaricious, false, deceitful, sudden, malicious, smacking every sin that has a name. But there's no bottom, none, in my voluptuousness. Your wives, your daughters, your matrons, and your maids could not fill up the cistern of my lust. And my desire, all continent impediments, would all bear that did oppose my will. Better Macbeth than such a one to reign.
Boundless intemperance in nature is a tyranny. It has been the untimely emptying of the happy throne and fall of many kings, but fear not yet to take upon you what is yours. You may convey your pleasures in a spacious plenty and yet seem cold the time you may so hoodwink. We have willing dames enough. There cannot be that vulture in you to devour so many as will to greatness dedicate themselves, finding it so inclined.
And with this, there grows in my most ill-composed affection such a staunchless avarice that, were I king, I will cut off the nobles for their lands, desire his jewels and this other's house, and my more having would be as a source to make me hunger more, that I should forge quarrels unjust against the good and loyal, destroying them for their wealth.
This avarice sticks deeper, grows with more pernicious root than summer-seeming lust, and it hath been the sword of our slain kings. Yet do not fear. Scotland hath poisons to fill up your will of your mere own. All these are portable with other graces weighed.
But I have none. The king becoming graces as justice, verity, temperance, stableness, bounty, perseverance, mercy, lowliness, devotion, patience, courage, fortitude. I have no relish of them, but abound in the division of each several crime, acting it many ways. Nay, had I power, I should pour the sweet milk of concord into hell, uproar the universal peace, confound all unity on earth.
Oh, Scotland, Scotland.
If such a one be fit to govern, speak. I am as I have spoken.
Fit to govern? No, not to live. O nation miserable, with an untitled tyrant, bloody sceptred, when shalt thou see thy wholesome days again, since that the truest issue of thy throne, by his own interdiction, stands accused and does blaspheme his breed? Thy royal father was a most sainted king. The queen that bore thee, oftener upon her knees than on her feet, died every day she lived. Fare thee well. These evils thou repeatest upon thyself have banish me from Scotland. Oh, my breast, thy hope ends here.
Macduff, this noble passion, child of integrity, hath from my soul wiped the black scruples, reconciled my thoughts to thy good truth and honour. Devilish Macbeth, by many of these trains, hath sought to win me into his power, and modest wisdom plucks me from over-credulous haste. But God above deal between thee and me. For even now, I put myself to thy direction, and unspeak mine own detraction. Here abjure the taints and blames I laid upon myself for strangers to my nature. I am yet unknown to woman, that never was forsworn, scarcely have coveted what was mine own, at no time broke my faith, would not betray the devil to his fellow, and delight no less in truth than life. My first false speaking was this upon myself. What I am truly is thine and my poor country's to command. Whither, indeed, before thy here approach, old Seward with 10,000 warlike men already at a point was setting forth. Now we'll together, and the chance of goodness be like our warranted quarrel. Why are you silent?
Such welcome and unwelcome things at once. It is hard to reconcile.
Well, the more anon.
See, who comes here?
My countryman, but yet I know him not.
Ross!
Macduff!
My ever gentle cousin, welcome hither.
I know him now. Good God, betimes and room for me to make a stranger.
Sir, amen.
Stand Scotland where it did.
Alas, poor country, almost afraid to know itself. It cannot be called our mother, but our grave, where nothing, but who knows nothing, is once seen to smile, where sighs and groans and shrieks that rend the air are made, not marked, where violent sorrow seems a modern ecstasy. The dead man's knell is there, scarce asked for who, and good men's lives expire before the flowers in their caps, dying o'er ere they sicken.
No relation, too nice, and yet too true.
What's the newest grief?
That of an hour's age doth hiss the speaker. Each minute teems a new one.
How does my wife?
Why, well.
And all my children?
Well, too.
The tyrant is not battered at their peace.
No, they were well at peace when I did leave them.
You're not a niggard of your speech. How goes it?
When I came hither to transport the tidings, which I have heavily borne, there ran a rumor of many worthy fellows that were out. It was, to my belief, witnessed the rather, for that I saw the tyrant's power afoot. Now is the time of help. Your eye in Scotland would create soldiers, make our women fight to doff their dire distresses.
Bear their comfort. We are coming thither. Gracious England hath lent us good Seward and 10,000 men, an older and a better soldier none that Christendom gives out.
Would I could answer this comfort with like, but I have words that would be howled out in the desert air, where hearing should not match them.
What concern, mate? The general cause, or is it a fee grief due to some single breast?
No mind that's honest, but in it shares some woe, though the main part pertains to you alone.
If it be mine, keep it not from me. Quickly, let me have it.
Let not your ears despise my tongue forever, which shall possess them with the heaviest sound that ever yet they heard.
I guessed it.
Your castle is surprised. Your wife and babes savagely slaughtered. To relate the manner were, on the quarry of these murdered deer, to add the death of you.
Merciful heaven! Mabon, ne'er pull your hat upon your brows, give sorrow words. The grief that does not speak whispers the o'erfraught heart and bids it break.
My children too?
Wife, children, servants, all that could be found.
And I must be from thence. My wife killed too?
I have said.
Be comforted. Let's make us medicines of our great revenge to cure this deadly grief.
You have no children. All my pretty ones? Did you say all? Oh, hell kite! All? What, all my pretty chickens and their dam at one fell swoop?
Disputed like a man.
I shall do so.
But I must also feel it as a man. I cannot but remember such things were that were most precious to me. Did heaven look on and would not take their part? Sinful Macduff. They were all struck for thee, naught that I am, not for their own demerits, but for mine, fell slaughter on their souls. Heaven rest them now.
Be this the whetstone of your sword. Let grief convert to anger. Blunt not the heart, enrage it.
Oh, I could play the woman with mine eyes and bracket with my tongue, but gentle heavens cut short all intermission. Front to front bring now this fiend of Scotland and myself. Within my sword's length set him. If he scape, heaven forgive him too.
This tune goes manly. Come, go into the king. Our power is ready. Our lack is nothing but our leave. Macbeth is ripe for shaking, and the powers above put on their instruments. Receive what cheer you may. The night is long that never finds the day.
I have for 2 nights watched with you, but can perceive no truth in your report. When was it she last walked?
Since His Majesty went into the field, I've seen her rise from her bed, throw her nightgown upon her, unlock her closet, take forth paper, fold it, write upon it, read it, afterwards seal it, and again return to bed. Yet all this while in a most fast sleep.
A great perturbation in nature to receive at once the benefit of sleep and do the effects of watching. In this slumbery agitation, besides her walking and other actual performances, what, at any time, have you heard her say?
That, sir, which I will not report after her.
You may to me, and 'tis most meet you should.
Neither to you nor anyone, having no witness to confirm my speech. Lo, you! Here she comes, daughter. This is her very guise. And upon my life, fast asleep. Observe her. Stand close.
How came she by that light?
Why, it's not by her. She has light by her continually. 'Tis her command.
You see, her eyes are open.
Aye, but their sense are shut.
What is it she does now? Look how she rubs her hands.
Aye, 'tis an accustomed action with her, to seem thus washing her hands. I've known her continue in this a quarter of an hour.
Yet, here's a spot.
Hark, she speaks.
Out, damn spot, out, I said. One. Two. One. Then it is time to do it. Hell is murky. Fie, my lord, fie. A soldier and a feared? What need we fear who knows it when none can call our power to account? Yet, who would have thought the old man had so much blood in him?
Do you mark that?
The faith of life had a wife. Where is she now? What will these hands near be clean? No more of that, my lord, no more of that. You mar all with this starting.
Oh, go to, you have known what you should not.
She has spoke what she should not, I'm sure of that. Heaven knows what she has known.
Here's the smell of the blood still. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. Oh. Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. What a sigh is there? The heart is sorely charged.
I would not have such a heart in my bosom for the dignity of the whole body.
Well, well, well.
Oh, pray God it be, sir.
This disease is beyond my practice. Yet I have known those which have walked in their sleep who have died holily in their beds.
Wash your hands. Put on a nightgown. Look not so pale. I tell you it again. Banquo's buried. He cannot come out on's grave.
Even so.
To bed. To bed. There's a knocking at the gate. Come. Come. Come, come, give me your hand. What's done cannot be undone. To bed, to bed, to bed.
Will she go now to bed?
Directly.
Oh, whisperings are abroad. Unnatural deeds do breed unnatural troubles. Infected minds to their deaf pillows will discharge their secrets. Oh, more need she the divine than the physician. God, God forgive us all. Look after her. Remove from her the means of all annoyance and still keep eyes upon her.
Aye.
So, good night. My mind she has mated and amazed my sight, I think, but dare not speak.
Good night, good doctor.
Here comes Menteith.
Lennox.
Caithness.
My lord.
The English power is near, led on by Malcolm. His uncle Seward and the good Macduff. Revenges burn in them, for their dear causes would, to the bleeding and the grim alarm, excite the mortified man.
Near Burnham Wood shall we well meet them. That way are they coming.
Who knows if Donald Bane be with his brother?
For certain, sir, he is not. I have a file of all the gentry. There is Seward's son and many unrough youths that even now protest their thirst of manhood.
And Babeth? What does the tyrant?
Great Dunsinane he strongly fortifies. Some say he's mad. Others, that lesser hate him, do call it valiant fury. For certain, he cannot buckle his distempered cause within the belt of rule.
Now does he feel his secret murders sticking on his hands.
Well, march we on to give obedience where 'tis truly owed.
Aye.
Meet we the medicine of a sickly wheel, and with him pour we in our country's purge each drop of us.
Or so much as it needs to dew the sovereign flower and drown the weeds. Make we our march towards Burnham!
I cannot taint with fear.
What's the boy, Malcolm? Was he not born of woman? The spirits that know all mortal consequence have pronounced me thus. Fear not, Macbeth. No man that's born of woman shall e'er have power upon thee. Then fly, false thanes, and mingle with the English epicures. The mind I sway by and the heart I bear shall never sag with doubts nor shake with fear. The devil damn thee black, thou cream-faced loon. Where gost thou that goose look?
There is 10,000...
Geese, villain?
Soldiers, sir.
What soldier? What soldier? Wayface!
The English force, so please you.
They cry, face! Where is it? Stephen!
I'm sick at heart when I behold it.
Stephen, I say!
This push will cheer me ever, or deceit me now. I have lived long enough. My way of life has fallen into the sear, the yellow leaf. And that which should accompany old age as honor, love, obedience, troops of friends, I must not look to have. But in their stead, curses, not loud, but deep, mouth on her, breath, which the poor heart would fain deny and dare not.
Satan!
What's your gracious pleasure?
What news more?
All is confirmed, my lord, which was reported.
I'll fight till from my bones my flesh be hacked. Give me my armor.
It is not needed yet.
I'll put it on! Send out more horses, scour the country round. Hang those that talk of fear. Give me my armor.
Doctor, how does your patient?
Not so sick, my lord, as she is troubled with thick coming fancies that keep her from her rest.
Cure her of that? Canst thou not minister to a mind diseased? Pluck from the memory of rooted sorrow, raise out the written troubles of the brain, and with some sweet, oblivious antidote, cleanse the oppressed bosom of the perilous stuff which weighs upon the heart?
Therein the patient must minister to himself.
Throw physic to the dogs! I'll none of it! Come, put my armor on. Give me my staff. See then, send out...
Doctor,
the thanes fly from me. Come, sir, dispatch. If thou couldst, doctor, cast the water of my land, find her disease, and purge it to a sound and pristine health, I would applaud thee to the very echo that should applaud again. Pulse off, I say! What rhubarb, senna, or what purgative drug would scour these English hens? Hearst thou of them?
Hi, my good lord. Your royal preparation makes us hear something.
Bring it after me!
Hello.
I will not be afraid of death and bane! Till Burnham Forest! Come to
Dunsinane! Were I from Dunsinane away and clear, profit again should hardly draw me here.
Cousins, I hope the days are near at hand, the chambers will be safe.
We doubted nothing.
What wood is this before us?
The wood of Burnham. Let every soldier hew him down a bough and bear it before him. Thereby shall we shadow the number of our host and make discovery in report of us.
It shall be done.
Lennox, my thanks.
Come, Ross. And see.
My lord.
Lord,
we learn no other but the competent tyrant keeps still in Dunsinane and will endure our setting down before.
That is his main hope. For where there is advantage to be gone, both more and less have given him the revolt. And none serve with him but constrained things, whose hearts are absent too.
Let our just censures attend the true event, and put we on industrious soldiership.
The time approaches that will with due decision make us know what we shall say we have, and what we owe. Thoughts speculative that unsure hopes relate, but certain issues strokes must arbitrate, towards which advance the war!
Still they come. Our castle strength will laugh a siege to scorn. Here, let them lie till famine in the age you eat them up. Were they not forced with those that should be ours, we might have met them dareful beard to beard and beat them backward home.
What is that noise?
It is the cry of women, good my lord.
I have almost forgot the taste of fears. The time has been my senses would have cooled to hear a night shriek, and my fell of hair would at a dismal treaties rouse and stir as life were in't. I have supped full with horrors. Direness familiar to my slaughterous thoughts cannot once start me. Wherefore was that cry?
The queen, my lord, is dead.
She should have died hereafter. There would have been a time for such a word. Tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Thou comest to use thy tongue, thy story, quickly.
Gracious, my lord, I should report that which I say I saw, but know not how to do it.
Well, say, sir.
As I did stand my watch upon the hill, I looked toward Burnham, and anon methought the wood began to move.
Slave!
Let me enjoy, or rather be not so. Within this 3 mile may you see it coming, I say, a moving grove.
If thou speakst false upon the next tree, shalt thou hang alive till famine claim thee. If thy speech be sooth, I care not if thou dost for me as much. I fall in resolution and begin to doubt the equivocation of the fiend that lies like truth. Fear not till Burnham Wood do come to Dunsinane. Now a wood comes toward Dunsinane. Come! On and out! If this which he avouches does appear, there is no flying hence, nor tarrying here. I begin to be aweary of the sun and wish the estate of the world were now undone. Ring the alarum bell! Blow wind! Come, rack! At least we'll die with harness on our back!
Now, near enough! Your leafy screens throw down and show like those you are! You, worthy steward, shall with my cousin, your right noble son, lead our first battle. Worthy Macduff and we shall take upon what else remains to do according to our order.
Malcolm, fare you well. Do we but find the tyrant's power tonight? Let us be beaten if he cannot fight.
Make all our trumpets speak! Give them all breath! Those clamorous harbingers of blood and death.
Me to a stake. I cannot fly, but bear like I must fight the course. What's he that was not born of woman? Such a one am I to fear, or none?
What is thy name?
Thou'lt be afraid to hear it.
No, though thou callst thyself a hotter name than any is in hell.
My name's Macbeth.
The devil himself could not pronounce a title more hateful to mine ear.
No, nor more fearful.
Thou liest, abhorred tyrant. And with my sword I'll prove the lie thou speakst. Oh.
thou wast born of woman.
That way the noise is. Tyrant, show thy face. If thou be slain, and with no stroke of mine, my wife and children's ghosts will haunt me still. I cannot strike at wretched kerns whose arms are hired to bear their staves. Either thou, Macbeth, or else my sword with an unbattered edge I sheathe again undeeded. Here thou shouldst be. By this great clatter, one of greatest note seems bruited. Let me find him, fortune, and more I beg not.
Malcolm, this way. The castle's gently rendered. The tyrant's people on both sides do fight. The noble thanes do bravely in the war. The day almost itself professes yours, and little is to do.
We have met with foes that strike beside us.
Enter, sir, the castle.
Why should I play the Roman fool and die on mine own sword? Whilst I see lives, the gashes do better upon them.
Turn! Hellhound, turn!
Of all men else, I have avoided thee. But get thee back. My soul is too much charged with blood of thine already.
I have no words. My voice says in my sword, thou bloodier villain than terms can give thee out.
Thou losest labor. As easy mayest thou the entrenchant air with thy keen sword impress as make me bleed. Let fall thy blade on vulnerable crests. I bear a charmed life, which must not yield to one of woman born.
Despair thy charm, and let the angel whom thou still hast served tell thee Macduff was from his mother's womb untimely ripped.
Cursed be that tongue that tells me so, for it hath cowed my better part of man. And be these juggling fiends no more believed, that polter with us in a double sense, that keep the word of promise to our ear and break it to our hope. I'll not fight with thee.
Then yield thee, coward, and live to be the show and gaze of the time. We'll have thee as our rare monsters are, painted upon a pole. And under it, here may you see the tyrant.
You'll not yield! To kiss the ground before young Malcolm's feet, and to be baited with a rabble's curse? No, Burnham would be come to Dunsinane, and thou opposed being of no woman born. Yet I will try the last. Before my body I throw my warlike shield. Lay on, Macduff! And damned be him that first cries, hold, enough!
We miss was safe arrived.
Some must go off, and yet by these I see so great a day as this is chiefly born.
Macduff is missing, and your noble son.
Your son, my lord, has paid a soldier's debt. He only lived but till he was a man, but like a man, he died.
Then he is dead?
I am brought off the field.
Had he his hurts before?
Aye, on the front.
Why then, God's soldier be he. Had I as many sons as I have hairs, I would not wish them to a fairer death. And so,
His knell is known.
He's worth more sorrow, and that I'll spend for him.
Malcolm, he's worth no more. They say he parted well and paid his score, and so God be with him. Here comes newer comfort.
Macduff!
Hail, King, for so thou art. Behold where stands the usurper's cursed head. The time is free. I see thee compassed with thy kingdom's pearl that speak my salutation in their minds, whose voices I desire aloud with mine. Hail, King of Scotland!
Hail, King of Scotland!
We shall not spend a large expense of time before we reckon with your several loves and make us even with you. My thanes and kinsmen, henceforth be earls, the first that ever Scotland in such an honor named. What's more to do, which would be planted newly with the time, as calling home our exiled friends abroad that fled the snares of watchful tyranny, producing forth the cruel ministers of this dead butcher and his fiend-like queen, who, as 'tis thought, by self and violent hands took off her life. This, and what needful else that calls upon us by the grace of grace, we will perform in measure, time, and place. So, thanks to all at once, and to each one, whom we invite to see us crowned at Scone.
Malcolm! Malcolm! Malcolm!
Macbeth by William Shakespeare starred Ian Holm as Macbeth and Penelope Wilton as Lady Macbeth. James Lawrenson played Banquo, Michael Kitchen, Macduff, and Mark Straker, Malcolm. Other parts were played by Michael Turner, Ian Lindsay, James Simmons, Simon Treves, Timothy Carlton, Terence Edmund, Susan Sheridan, Norman Jones, Martin Reed, Brett Usher, Stephen Garlick, Emma Gregory, Jenny Howe, and Tara Dominic. The production assistant was Annette Lee. Technical presentation and post-production were by Keith Perrin. Original music was specially composed by Colin Sell in this BBC World Service drama production, adapted and directed by David Hutchinson.